Hi, it's April 30th, 2008. This is Georgia Young, and I'm here with Molly Sue Whipple, and we're talking about Brownsburg. Molly Sue, you were telling me at lunch about the building that a museum is in. Could you tell us the history of that, whose it was, and then how you acquired it?
That little house belonged to my mother-in-law, as did the big house I was living in, the Whipple House. And it went for sale, so I bought it. And I didn't know what I'd ever do with it, but anyway, I didn't want anybody that close living that close to me. So I bought that little house, and it's just ideal for the museum. In fact, it is a little museum because the first telephone office was in that building, and the first bank was in that little building.
And your mother-in-law acquired it after the bank moved across the street?
No, she belonged to it first. They had it first. And then, after I had it, they thought that would be a good place for the bank. That's where the bank was, and they decided it was too small. They had to build a larger bank. So they built the bank across the street, and put a second story on it so they could put the telephone office upstairs and have it all in one building.
Can you tell us who's any of the families were that lived there before that?
In that house?
Mm-hmm.
No, there were tenants, and I don't remember who they were.
And you said that the a woman who worked for your mother-in-law, for Mrs.
Yes, Miss Margaret McCormick lived there when she was working for my mother-in-law. And Miss Margaret died, and no one lived there, to my knowledge, after that.
And then you bought it.
And then I bought it, yeah, when it went for sale, I bought it.
Did Miss Margaret help Fred at the dairy?
Yes, she did. She was his main help when he had milking cows.
So she was a pretty useful lady.
Oh, she certainly was. She had no home and no family, so she made her home there. And she lived with Miss Whipple for a long time.
Did Fred grow up in, which house did Fred grow up in?
One across the street, the big house, the one we are in now.
And that was his parents' home?
Mm-hmm.
Did his mother moved out when you all moved in?
No, she died. We didn't move in until it was empty.
Oh. So did you live somewhere else before you
lived? Lived across the street.
Ah.
In what Dick Barnes' house. Not his house. The brick house.
Okay. So that's where you and Fred lived when you were first married?
First married.
And did Miss Whipple die after the war, or?
Yes, I think it was.
Okay. What happened, Fred's father died fairly young?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. And how long, and his mother lived for quite a while after his father
died.
Okay. What about Fred's brothers?
Now, this is not about the Whipple family.
No, it's just history of Brownsburg.
Oh,
and she was interested in Doug and D.W.
Uh-huh.
And,
they're the only two brothers I knew. I didn't know the other boys.
Okay. We've got several editions of the Brownsburg Tattler, the school newspaper.
Yes.
And among the business ads is an ad for W.E. Mays Mill in Brownsburg. Do you know which one that was?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I didn't remember it either, because I thought there were just
Hayes
Creek and Wade's Mill.
I thought so, too.
And Hayes Creek was called McClung's for
McClung,
a long time.
I think so.
Okay. And, how about, a little more about the black community in Brownsburg. Who? What was the name of the woman that kept Freddie and Sue?
Ada. Ada Pleasant. That's her name. And Ada. That was a when I first came to Brownsburg to live, the blacks and whites all lived among each other. There was no section for black folks and white. We all just lived together.
Well, that's great.
And it was so different. I came from Goshen. And in Goshen, the blacks were all in one section of the village, and whites were all in the other section. So this was so different, because across the street from me lived a black family. And up the street further, there was another black family, and then a white family. And that was sort of unique with Brownsburg.
Wonderful, too. Did Fred employ any of the black men to work on the farm?
Yes. He employed Jim. Jim Brown was his name, and he was more like Uncle Remus than Uncle Remus himself. Jim entertained my children, telling them stories. One day I missed the poor children, so I walked out back of a wood house we had there to see if I could find them, and they were sitting behind that house on a bucket, old turned upside down bucket. Jim was sitting on that and telling the children stories of Uncle Remus.
Oh, how fun. Were there any black businesses in the village? Someone mentioned the Gilmore store south of where Doris and Walter lived. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know about that.
And do you remember any of the ministers at Asbury? Mm-hmm. Now, you used to play the organ at Asbury, is that right?
Yeah, the piano. I'd go up there and play for them on Sunday afternoon for church. Uh-huh. I did that for about a year.
Do you remember the Asbury lawn parties?
Oh, yes. Great time. Someone always got shot. Oh, they'd have big fights. It was an exciting time.
And who were the major black families in the village?
Pleasants, I think, and Browns. We're about the two main families.
There aren't any descendants of the Wade family left in the area. Molly Sue was good friends with the Wades, Mary Wade, Margaret Wade, and Kate Wade.
Yes.
And Jen Heffelfinger. Mm-hmm.
And John, they had a brother John. Kate, Mary, and Margaret, and Jen, and John.
And the house that they grew up in was named Castle Carberry.
Yes, that was out in the country.
And why did
near the church.
And why did they name it that?
I don't know.
Had no idea. Who were Freddie and Sue's good friends when they were growing up?
The Heffelfinger children.
Sue and Grace were good
Grace,
friends.
Mm-hmm. And Steve. Yeah. And Donnie Swope were our neighbors. And remember the girl's name? Joyce Swope. They lived in the brick house on Main Street in Brownsburg. We lived down the street.
Do you remember Mary Monroe Pennock, who came from Lexington to direct the New Providence Choir?
Mary Monroe Pennock was a great organist of First Presbyterian Church in Lexington. She taught music and she directed the choir, beautiful choir, and she was very musical. And she agreed to come out there and direct our choir for a while.
And why did she do that?
Because we didn't have anyone, I think. That was before I joined the church. I didn't belong to the church at that time. And I had just gotten to Brownsburg. And they got her to come out and direct the choir, teach them. They had a real good choir.
How about some of the characters in Brownsburg? Harve Matheny, who lived in a house on wheels and repaired shoes?
Yeah, he lived. It was like a trailer. And he was a shoemaker. He repaired shoes. He was a character. He had no education whatever, but he was wise in ways of the world. I had lots of wisdom.
And he would just go around to people's houses and...
No, they'd take shoes to him.
And where was his...
His shop was... His little trailer was parked behind the... What is now Dick Barnes' house. And the buildings behind there. There were two big garages. So Horace's trailer was parked right through there. And he lived there the year round.
How about Clint Troxel?
Clint Troxel was another character. He was a plumber. And he lived down in Locust Creek. And every morning, the first thing you'd see out on the street in Brownsburg was Clint Troxel. He got up early and he walked to Brownsburg. And he sat on the porch, the Soupinga store porch, all day and talked. And he was a character. He loved his whiskey. He drank quite a lot.
And so by then he wasn't a plumber anymore when he used to come?
Oh yes, when you had water problems, plumbing problems, Clint would come. And you knew he had been there because he'd pick up your nice towels and wipe the pipes on them, you know, and you knew he'd been there when he came. Because it was really a mess when he left.
And how about Susan Porter? She was a black woman who lived in the shack behind Dick Barnes' house and cooked outside.
She did. I don't know much about Susan Porter, except that I'd see her over there. And she did live there by herself. I don't know whether anybody ever looked after her or not.
You might have just arrived by the time the dedication of the new brick schoolhouse in 1936. Were you there for that?
No, I don't think so. Because when I came, I started teaching in the brick building.
Okay, and how about it? Is there anything else? I mean, how about the Heffelfingers? Tell me about the Wades. There was another family of Wades. Wasn't there the
Wades that lived out at the mill?
Right.
Uh-huh, that was another family.
And they owned a house in town, too, right? Wasn't the house that's now, you know, that one next to Bill and, you know who I mean, across the street from where you were and down the street, across from, between Betsy and the pool hall and that area, they did that fancy addition, Bill, and...
The bank was there, the pool hall, and the Bosworth store, mm-hmm. and the Bosworth house.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Withrow house, and then the Swope's house.
The person I'm thinking, Miss Amelia Wade, I thought she had
a house... Oh, they lived out at the mill.
Yeah, but I thought that eventually... they owned a house in Brownsburg?
Not that I know of.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
Okay, and they weren't related to the
Wades
you knew.
No.
Nor were they related to the Wades that owned Wades Mill.
That's right.
Isn't that funny? Three families of Wades and nobody knew each other. I mean, was related to
That's
each
right.
other. Is there anything else you can think of that we need to know? Anything really fun that happened or exciting?
Well, I think you need to know more about Brownsburg.
All right.
Than the people.
Okay.
When the folks in Brownsburg decided they needed a bank, they just got together and gave the money and did the bank. Built the bank and got it started.
Whose idea was it?
I don't know, but the leaders of the village.
Wow.
And, you know, we got so many people start coming in, they needed a doctor. So they decided to call a doctor, just like the Presbyterians called a minister.
Uh-huh.
They went to Richmond and found a doctor that would be willing to come to the country. So they thought, if we get a doctor to come, we have to have somewhere for him to live and an office. So they built the house Ag Patterson lives in, the brick house, and put the office in the basement. So that was the doctor, built for the doctor, for the doctor's house and his office.
And who was the doctor?
Dr. Bailey was the first doctor that came. Then Dr. Taylor came. And then Dr. Williams. So we really needed these country doctors one at a time. They brought all the babies in the community.
Wow.
And they did house calls. They always called on patients at night. And the patients would come to them in the daytime, to the office.
And when did the last doctor leave?
You know, Dr. Williams was the last one here. And he moved to Stanton during the war. And that was the last doctor we had in Brownsburg.
And is that when the Pattersons moved into that house?
Yes, they bought that house then. Moved in there. What else?
I love that story.
Better cut that thing off. Let me think. When I came to Brownsburg, there was a lot going on here. We had five grocery stores. Doctor, garage.
Did you say two garages?
Mm-hmm.
How many garages?
Two garages. Oh, we had a garage to work on cars, and then they had a blacksmith shop. All the horses had to be shod. A doctor. There was just a lot going on here. At that time, the telephone office moved in. They had the bank.
Did you have a mayor?
No, didn't have a mayor.
No government?
No government.
Well, that's nice.
Everybody sort of ran it to suit themselves. We didn't have a sheriff. I should make notes.
Yes. Tell me one more thing. What about the house that the Bobs lived in, that Betsy and Dick Anderson lived in? Was that still in a bar, or had that closed?
No, that was a private home.
Family
Pattersons lived in that house, and that was a private home.
Was that the parents of, no? The two ladies. What was that about?
Until they died.
And then the bank just acquired that?
Mm-hmm. The bank acquired that building.
The bank started in the little building that you had,
yes,
right?
That little museum house was the first bank. And after they got the other one built, then it moved across the street. I thought of something then, it went out of my mind.
You were going to tell me a little bit about the school. And
yeah, we had a large high school here. They ran by five or six buses in from the country into the village, brought children to school in the school buses. We had a rather large high school, a glee club. They sang well. They would put on wonderful plays at the school to make money. And we had good ball teams, basketball and baseball. And we played other schools in the county. And that was a great day when we'd have a game today. And I think the doctors.
When you first started teaching, Molly Sue, I thought you taught elementary school. Was there both an elementary school and a high school?
The high school, yeah. We had accredited high school, and there weren't many in the county.
So were they all in the same building, or was the high school?
We had two buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The high school was in one building, the elementary in the other building. And they all came in on school buses, all the kids did. I think we had like five school buses. Would run in each day. And it was sort of difficult at night to have programs with the children living so far away, a lot of them. but their parents would bring them, and they would come to the programs.
So the elementary school was first through eighth grade, and then
first through seventh.
And then the high school was.
And then the high school was 4 years, high school, and a home economics department and an agricultural department. And during the war, the agriculture had classes in the shop class, in the shop building, and agriculture building. And they repaired machinery, that sort of thing.
To help with the war effort?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your kids went there from first grade through?
Through senior class. And they graduated from a senior as a senior in high school and go straight on into college and got along fine.
And did they both go to Tech?
No, Sue went to Longwood.
Did most of the kids go on to college or just a few
mm-hmm.
of them? Most
mm-hmm.
of them? No, I meant of the people who went.
Yeah, most families sent their children to college. Most of them went somewhere.
Well, that's great.
It was.
And tell me about the principal when you first came.
She was a lady from Richmond and a very strong person. And she had ran that school like a military school. I mean, that when the bell rang, everybody lined up outdoors in line. And she had a drum. Somebody beating the drum, you marched to the drum, marched in the classroom. And you better be quiet.
And when did she retire?
Oh, I don't remember.
And who replaced her?
Then we had a man principal after that.
Was that Betsy's father?
From then on. I don't remember. I don't know. Could have been. No, I don't remember that far.